What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Buildup, and we have a great one for you today. A lot to talk about, a lot to get into. Manchester United played their second preseason game against Rangers. We got to see the debut of Lenny Yoro. We got to see Amad Diallo do his thing. We got to see a lot of young and exciting prospects out of La Carrington, and I am here with the usual suspects, Hassan and Abu. How are you guys doing?
Good.
And we have a new guest on the pod making his debut, new member of ST, Men Like Griggs. What's going on, bro?
I'm good, bro. Thank you for having me. Obviously, I've been keeping track of you guys' work, pods, Twitter threads. You guys have been killing it. So happy to join the team.
For sure, for sure. Happy to have you, bro. So yeah, let's get right into it. I think, you know, today was probably one of the more anticipated days. We got a little leak yesterday saying that Yoro will probably be involved and will travel with the squad. So everyone was anticipating that. And I think when the lineup came out, seeing him starting right away and, you know, just the rest of the squad, we had Collier in there as well. Sancho making a start. If you would have told me that Sancho would be starting in preseason, the second game of preseason, at you know, any point of last season, I would have laughed in your face. So just that whole lineup was just kind of a little bit of a shock to me, but it just seemed from the off that it was just going to be a really fun and an exciting game to watch. And that first half definitely was. I think it took a little bit for everyone to get going, as preseason does. But once we got cooking, it was pretty fun to watch. What did you guys think?
I thought it was pretty good. We definitely played with more intensity as opposed to the first game. And we saw more of how we're going to play the season it's not a set double pivot, but it is sort of, it does offer more security than last season. The other CM does push a bit deeper, and we saw that with Collier. He was quite good, especially from deep build-up play. And we saw Amad on the right. I think this season our starting right winger will be Amad. I've liked Garnacho there, but Amad just offers us something different. He uses the overlaps well. He underlaps well. Obviously, when Dalot comes back in, he'll use a fullback. And other than that, we just saw like more of a 4-2-3-1. It was good attacking shape. Mount was decent, and yeah, obviously Yoro is just something different. I think we saw his passing as well today. I think that will help us a lot. We saw his back foot defending. It's like, it's just like you, when this player develops, like you got Varane again, basically, with the added on the ball qualities. It's just so good, man. I feel like I'm watching Rio Ferdinand back again in 2010.
Yeah, to add on, I was going to say, obviously, Lenny Yoro, I'll start with him real quick, just to carry on. The diagonals that he kept playing out wide, we haven't seen that probably since Harry Maguire, when he was kind of more of a prominent figure under Ole. Lindelof would only do it to Rashford back when Rashford, before the back injuries and stuff like that, when he had a lot more pace, the back foot of defending, the ability to cover the channels, which we all know has been one of the biggest weaknesses in our defenders. And Lenny Yoro adds that. Amad Diallo, I also agree. I think there's no reason why he shouldn't be the starting right winger come the beginning of the season. In my opinion, if he doesn't even, he should start as long as he's fit on that right wing, unless he loses like his place in terms of form. Maybe Garnacho can take over, but the ability is there. The confidence, you could tell, is now there. Ten Hag kind of talked about it. He's no longer just a young kid. He's experienced now. He did his reps in the championship. Towards the end of last season, he got his games. And now in preseason, he's taken that position in the first game. And he's made a huge statement to the other wingers on the team that if you want to take the spot from me, you're going to have to work very hard for it. I also wanted to pay attention to like terms of like if there was a couple of connections, like underlaps, overlaps for the goal. Mason Mount made a nice run when he laid it off to Amad to kind of open up the space for the goal. That was good to watch. I thought Sancho was pretty decent for the most part. I think he got better as the half kind of progressed. In the beginning, he was very loose with his touches, but he became a little bit more direct as much as he could be. Not like an Amad, who was probably this shining star, but he did a decent job. And then Collier, obviously, I've seen a lot of stuff about him. I thought in the beginning, maybe first 5-10 minutes, he wasn't that sharp. He's a little bit kind of, ragey. He was committing a lot of fouls, but as the half grew, kind of like most of the team, he got better. He became a little bit more comfortable. receive the ball well. The defensively, he looks really good. Physical frame, I think he's like 6'2". Ten Hag, we all know, loves his physical profile. So it was good to see a few people that we expect to get a lot more minutes during the season. I think like Collier, I think Cup game should be his role in terms of the six. That'd be nice to see Carabao Cup, Europa League early on. And yeah, it was just good to see the team get nice minutes and look cohesive on like Monday.
Yeah, just going on with these boys' points. I missed most of the game, but I managed to get some highlights at the end of it. Yoro is the second coming of Rio Ferdinand plus Van Dijk in the same player. His last day challenge was amazing. His switches, like, we put it on ST beforehand where he normally switches out to the right-hand side. He's shown some variety switching over to the left-hand side. I think that's going to do Rashford a lot, you know, as a lot of times last season he was just standing there waiting for the ball to come to him. And as we know, there was almost no ball progression in our team or midfield last season. So I feel like that's going to be a utilised weapon. And Ahmad, what can I say? Ten Hag said it's his time. I believe Ten Hag, in my opinion, I believe Ten Hag treated him a bit harshly last season. I believe he should have, you know, started a lot more games than he should have. I believe Anthony started way more games than he should have, as everyone knows that. Yeah, so hopefully Ahmad can look on the right wing spot. It's going to be a bit tough for Garnacho, I think, because that right hand side, I feel like it's locked down by Ahmad, and the left hand side seemingly seems locked off by Rashford. And I know Sancho's come back and he played, he grew as the game went on, as you guys were saying. But, I don't feel like there's, I don't know, I feel like it's hard seeing a future for him with this club. I know the club are looking actively to sell him. Yeah, it seems like the youth players did well. And yeah, for the first game of pre-season, it looks pretty good. Well, second game of pre-season, if you can't see the previous game. But yeah, it looks a good sign so far, good signs.
No, definitely. I think you guys, you know, kind of summed it up really well. I kind of want to touch on, I feel like the three kind of standout players were obviously Yoro, Ahmad, and Collier. And I kind of want to touch on those three kind of a little bit deeper. I think, I mean, man, everyone knew that Yoro is a generational talent, right? But just seeing him on the pitch for United, and I know it was a preseason game and I'm trying not to overreact, but there's just certain times where you can just tell that it's just different. Like, I'm still trying to suss out exactly what it is. I think it's just it's a combination of his physical profile matched with his fluidity and his agility. Like, the way he moves on the ball is just like, it's like he was born to play that position. And I think he is. And, some of his, we saw a little bit of everything, right? For me, he looked a lot more comfortable on the ball than I knew he was good on the ball, but he just looked like he was commanding everything. And I'm just thinking about him with that sort of comfortability next to who I believe is the best ball playing center back in the world, in Lisandro Martinez. And like that combination, just that's going to be absolutely insane. So we saw the ball playing. Griggs touched on that diagonal. I mean, just to have that in his bag right away, no hesitation. And there was one, I don't know if you guys remember this, he had like, it was in the first half as well. He had like kind of instructed Ahmad to make a run forward, and he played like this little lofted pass over the top. I think it just got caught out, or Ahmad couldn't take it down, but it was also nice to see. We got to see his caring. And then we also got to see his defending as well. Some of those elastic tackles, his telescopic legs, like, just really, really talk to me about Lenny Yoro. Like, I was somewhat in awe of like that performance. And again, I'm not trying to overreact, but it just seems so different. And the fact that he's only 18 now, like, imagine him in like 2 years. Like, it just doesn't make sense, man.
I know it feels like we're all glazing him, but he deserves to be glazed. The kid's like, when a player, you know, I think when Real Madrid won an 18-year-old, as shown by the previous 18-year-olds that they signed, they mean business. That it means that kid is the next wonder kid. That kid is the next upcoming best centre back, best player. And with Yoro, it generally seems like a coup, and it feels like a coup because not just of how he just played today and his overall, you know, aura, just in terms of just how like a lot of rival fans were actually triggered by the fact we signed him, and they were like, "How did he get to United? He preferred Madrid, you know, all of that nonsense." Like, end of the day, he's ours. He's ours for the next 5 years minimum. And I feel like, you know, with a good ownership structure in place, with a good plan in place, he can really flourish. So yeah, like just to back up CK's point, I generally think he's going to be one of the best in the world, like relatively soon.
Yeah, to carry on, I mean, there's something about French footballers and kind of like the aura that they have. They just make the game look very easy. I talked about when I was talking about the game earlier too. It's like the Benzemas, the Salibas you're seeing now with him at Arsenal. The game just looks very easy to them. And Lenny Yoro kind of gives off that feeling. And the fact that he gives off that feeling at 18 is special, because imagine what he'll be like in 3 years when he even develops further. And at 18, to play for Manchester United, and we'll see once the season starts, if it'll translate from the preseason, he looks like he belongs in that jersey. And as a teenager, not many people can say that. We see, obviously, with Kobe Mainoo last season, and Lenny Yoro is the next one. It's just everything that he did was just special. And he did it next to Johnny Evans, which, no disrespect to Sir Johnny Evans, but Lisandro Martinez will be his starting center back in 2 weeks' time. And like CK mentioned, the best ball-playing center back in the world. He'll have an even more aggressive partner. We're obviously going to push up our line a little bit higher now with Lenny Yoro there. He just has every tool. Now it's just about making sure that we don't put too much pressure on him. I don't know if we're going to touch on Onana's comments talking about that. There's no responsibility on him. It's up to us, the veterans, which is good to see that the club will try their best to protect him, because this is an asset that United hopefully have for the next decade, not just 5 years, as long as his contract is.
Yeah, I thought with the standout players in Collier, Ahmad and Yoro, we saw something more of what Ten Hag was referring to last preseason as, oh, we want to be the best transition team in the world. I think there was a lot of patterns where we sort of built quick from the back and we went direct. There was that one long ball that Yoro made to Wheatley that he flicked on, and Ahmad, and then Ahmad went past the defender and Wheatley made a good run, but he just couldn't get the shot off properly. He just couldn't score. And yeah, we saw something more of what, like, we're not obviously, we're bringing in these new players. We're not going to be City, like, just pass the ball around slowly, slowly. It's more of like a approach where when we need to go long, or when we want to go long, we do go long. And I think I just want to touch up on our strikers. With us obviously signing Xerxes now as well, I'm interested to know how the dynamic will work, because Onana was going long as well for a few of the balls, and we were sort of looking for Wheatley something next time, look for Hoyland and Hugill as well in the second half. So yeah, and obviously Ahmad using the overlaps, like I said before. I think Collier, I think we've got a good play here. I think it's touching on shades of Kobbie Mainoo last season, but we'll just want to see how he develops, how he fares in the big games. And, you know, it's just about Mainoo when the big games came. He didn't feel any pressure. Will Collier be the same? Can he match the intensity and physicality? I feel like he can. And with our most of our players today, we saw how quickly they were getting shots off, how quickly they weren't like, say, dilly-dallying on the ball. They just quickly got it out of the feet and they were composed with it as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think Griggs talks about protecting Yoro and you know, Onana's comments. I think for me, the best way we can protect Lenny Yoro is to go out and get Matheus de Ligt. Get a strong 24-year-old center back who can come in and play in that position. So as good as Yoro is, and how as irreplaceable as some of his qualities are, we cannot play him 45 games this season as an 18-year-old in the Premier League. It's not going to work. He's going to develop injuries, and we just don't. We just need to be careful with this guy, because he's that good that I just don't want to see him just be run into the ground. And you know, if Harry Maguire is still here, then that's an option as well. Obviously, hopefully, we can sell Lindelof and you know, some other defenders and be able to bring someone like De Ligt in. But that's Yoro. Let's move on to Ahmad, because his performance was outstanding. And again, all of this stuff, we understand it's preseason. We understand that these things have to be taken with a grain of salt, but they are important performances. And, you know, this is the time that you make your claim for the season. And Ahmad is certainly making a claim for that right wing spot. And I just thought everything he did today was brilliant. I'm just a huge fan of his IQ, his cerebralness, the way he plays. I think He's just always making the right decision, knows when to take a risk, knows when to keep the ball and kind of play a little bit safer. And for me, like the cutbacks that he made today, that one to Wheatley that Hassan was talking about, the one to Sancho where Sancho should have done better. That's just something, and not to like put down one of our players to big another one up, but like sometimes that's what's missing with Garnacho, right? That final action in the final third, is he going to make the right decision? And with Ahmad, you pretty much always know that he's going to make the right decision, whether it comes off or not, is, you know, that's just the game. But, you know, he's always going to make the right decision. So tidy on the ball. And, you know, I think the more minutes he gets, the more confidence he'll have to like be a little bit more direct. And I think you've kind of seen that, you know, towards the end of last season and the beginning of this one. And he really just looks like he's coming to his own. And those comments from Ten Hag, where he says, you know, this is Ahmad's year, I trust him, verbatim. Like, those are big, big words, and it bodes really well for Ahmad. And I just hope, you know, those aren't empty promises from Ten Hag, and he definitely, follows through with them, because this kid deserves a very serious chance at that starting spot. And I'm just excited to see, you know, him and Garnacho just battle it out for that spot. You know, may the best man win. Obviously, they bring two completely different profiles and different sorts of players, and they can be great in different game states. But talk to me about that Ahmad performance today.
I thought last season, when I think, did he start the first preseason game? I'm not quite sure.
I was going to touch on that as well. He wasn't quite ready, right?
Yeah, he was playing way too direct. Like, he wanted to show like that he wants the spot, and he had that energy about him. But then he obviously got injured early on as well. And this season, I feel like he's been more controlled with his performances. Obviously, last season when he got minutes at the end of the season, that helped as well. But yeah, on your point where you said he makes the right decision, it's like we've had players like, say, we've had a, you know, when Sancho was new here and we had a player, we were like, okay, in transition, this isn't the best player. He's better off against low blocks, is what we thought. And then with some other wingers, we had Garnacho's better in transition and against low blocks, he's not sort of the best, but he's obviously sort of slowly improving. With Ahmad, I feel like even in transition, he's good. Like that flick on from Wheatley that he had, that was a very good transition. And then even against low blocks, obviously his incisive passing, that passing made to Sancho, I feel like you get the best of both with Ahmad. And he does take on players on both sides as well. He goes on the right and he goes on the left. So yeah, it's just, obviously I'm gutted that we didn't get Elise, but Ahmad does give us that dynamic. And yeah, it's just interesting to see how he does as well when Dalo comes back inside.
Yeah, it's Karen with Ahmad. I think it's funny with United that they've lucked into this, because when we originally signed Ahmad, he was like plan C to Jadon Sancho in that summer of 2020 when Dortmund were quoting us for 120 mil and we didn't want to pay, and we ended up with Palestri and Ahmad, and more than likely we've probably ended up with a better player now in Ahmad. It's funny how that works. But today was a look like the Ahmad from Sunderland, where he was the best player on the team and he kind of just took over. And they just kept, United today just kept passing him the ball. They kept feeding to him because they know that he was the one that was going to create something out of nothing. And that's what he did. And it's good to see that confidence, because I agree with you guys. The past couple of years, whenever he played for United, he looked decent, but there was always, it was like he had a handbrake on. He wasn't fully locked in. He wasn't fully confident. And I think those minutes at the end of last season, the three consecutive starts, I think they added a little that confidence in him, that Ten Hag finally believes in him. And now he's taken that motivation and now applying it to preseason, which he now has the opportunity to take over since Garnacho's not back from vacation yet. And I think for me, with Ahmad this season, I expect a lot from him. I think he's a great goal threat because his shooting is actually really underrated from a player of his profile. We don't really expect that kind of ball striking from someone like him, but we saw it from Sunderland. He could strike the ball like that finesse. It's like if you play FIFA, R1 circle, he has that in his locker, the dribbling, the intensity, the off-the-ball work he do. We saw that tackle that he had. He has that aggression in him. So I look at someone that United, obviously, you just mentioned Elise. We ended up losing him, but this is someone that we can kind of mold that maybe a little bit less of a ceiling than Elise, but pretty close to it. And it's good that we have that. I know his contract's up in a year time. United need to get onto that in terms of prioritizing him, telling him that you're going to get the game time. and try to extend it, because if he has a season I expect him to have, clubs will come calling, and it's not going to be championship clubs anymore. It's going to be bigger competition.
My thing with Ahmad is that he's always shown a mature head on his young shoulders. So, like, going to Sunderland did him so well. He was the best player in the championship. Well, one of the best players in the championship. Absolutely killed it, killed in the playoffs. And we thought he'd carried on that momentum, as he showed that he could do it in such a physical league like the championship, which is arguably more physical than the Premier League. But then when he came, just like Greg said, we have so many. We had Palestri, Sancho, you know, Garnacho was playing there, like a lot of competition, and he wasn't given a chance, a fair chance in my eyes. And towards the back end of last season, he became more trusted and more trusted, which is a bit surprising. I thought he'd be more trusted throughout the whole season, because the one thing which sticks out more to me is that he has great decision making. Great decision making in the final third. He shows maturity in the final third. Like, it's not like I'm just going to pick the ball up and run at my man, which he can do. He, like, assesses the play, picks the right options, like eight, nine times out of 10, picks the right options. And he's a great player to have. And I believe with Dalot coming back and coming off that great season he had, probably the only player last season who had a great season, as an overlapping option, I believe that Dalot's, you know, going to help Diallo's game move to the next level. And I'm hoping for a massive season for him. Ten Hag, he comes out and said he's trust him. I'm just hoping he gets no injuries, touch wood, like mainly did last season pre-season. And yeah, it's going to be a tough fight for places. And obviously having Garnacho and Diallo on the right wing gives two different options, which is always good to have squad depth. You know, we're competing against, you know, like Liverpool, City, Arsenal, you know, they have way better squad depth than us. So it's good to have that squad depth and different varying options we could, you know, come off the bench. So yeah, I'm expecting big things, just like Greg said.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was just going to mention that too. Just having those two, Garnacho and Ahmad, they could be perfect for like either game state. You know, just come if you're chasing a game, bring Garnacho off the bench at like 65, 70, just kind of how we saw in his first season when he broke through. He can just absolutely tear teams apart against tired legs in that situation. And that if you're trying to see a game out, you know, bringing Ahmad on and just having him keep things tidy, but still, you know, have that threat to put the nail in the coffin or see his play a part in that dagger, I think is, you know, it's just great to have. And they're both extremely young. And then you also have a Jadon Sancho that's there that's can, you know, on his day be good as well. And then obviously the likes of Rashford. So, you know, coming from last season where our wing options look pretty weak, like coming into this season with the emergence of Ahmad and Sancho coming back into the fold, we have some options there. But moving from the attack into the midfield, Toby Collier started today. I think it was his first start, and you know, I think he played. But he played the second 45 of the first preseason game, and yeah, it was good to see him get a start along a lot of first team members. Kind of the guy this season from the academy that seems to, you know, have the most juice behind him in terms of his ability to, you know, make his pathway into the first team and try to contribute this season. And it's in a position that we all know is of great need. And someone who, you know, we need someone to sit next to Mainoo. Casemiro looks, you know, still like a shell of himself. He grew into the first half, but still did not look very sharp. And it seems like Collier, you know, it didn't look like it was unfamiliar territory. Let's just say that, like him in the first team, you know, playing with first team players, it seems like he can definitely do a job in there. Kind of has a little bit of that Carrick gene where he's just going to sit and do a job, does an excellent job shuttling against that back four, good engine, good work rate, you know, seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. Yeah, I was really impressed with him today, and hopefully he can go on that US tour and kind of get some more minutes. But yeah, what did you guys think about Collier?
I thought he was, yeah, I touched on that before. I thought he was quite good. He looks matured. His touches on the ball. You know, when you're getting, when we watch Mainoo play in pre-season, we're watching Collier play now. He just looks so composed. He's got a nice passing variety on him. He got involved deep. It's just about seeing him in the big games. I feel like he did everything to a good standard. don't have anything bad to say really, or anything to sort of criticize yet. But it's just seeing how it fares in the next games, and then we'll obviously have more to like sort of analyze and more to show like what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are. But yeah, looks like we'll bring in another midfielder though, and considering these recent reports, obviously Ugarte and Zubimendi, CK or anyone, what do you think regarding that?
Zubimendi, Ugarte, I personally, for me, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not the biggest fan of Ugarte. He looked decent at Sporting when I watched him play in the Europa League games, and I think they were in the Champions League group stages that year as well. He looked decent, but he gives me like Casemiro vibes sometimes in terms of his rashness. He's obviously more athletic than Casemiro in 2024, but on the ball, I've looked at some videos that people have done in terms of like his last duels work, like last 25. He doesn't want to turn on the ball. He's a little bit too safe, which I don't mind being safe as a midfielder. There's no problem with that, but there's a thing as being too safe, and you don't want to take any element of risk. And for me, I don't really want that as a Zubimendi, who we all saw the Euros final, how he seamlessly filled in for Rodri in that second half. You could even argue that he looked better than Rodri in that final, and he has Champions League experience as well. He's played on the biggest nights in football, and he would also make United also alter this gung-ho style that Ten Hag has, and also kind of simplify the game for other players. He'll dictate the pace at his own game. And that's my kind of number six personally. That's what I think. But stylistically, maybe some people would prefer Ugarte because he's more athletic than Zubimendi next to Manu, whose one weakness out of all the strengths that he has is probably his motor and his engine. So maybe, but I think if he could get a Zubimendi on the market when you're looking at clubs like Arsenal want him, Barcelona, that'd be a great coup. And you're also hurting rivals in the process. And also, which I think eventually Ineos and the coach and Wilcox and them will eventually want our play style to be a lot more dominant. And Zubimendi will fit that play style. So it might not be a signing that will look good this season, but maybe next season he'll look like a much better than Ugarte would look in years to come.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Ugarte, just in terms of the kind of perception of Ugarte, I think has gone a little bit too far in terms of his deficiencies. I think he's not a world beater by any stretch of the imagination, and Zubimendi is certainly a better player than him and definitely in possession without a doubt, but that's going to come with a little bit of a bigger price tag. I know PSG are demanding 70 million euros. I don't think there's any chance we pay over 35-40. I think if it reaches past that, I think we walk away. But yeah, it's a tough decision. I think if Zubimendi is achievable for a good fee, I would 100% take him. Like I think he's class. But Ugarte seems like the one that is the most advanced at this stage. And with, I don't know if you guys read into this the way I did, but there's reports today that pretty well sourced reports that PSG had sent an offer for João Neves. So if they're already sending an offer of that substantial amount of money for João Neves, I would think that they know that they have some money coming in, which would be us for Ugarte. So I think that's the one that's going to happen. And, you know, just as a stopgap option for a year or so until we go for Wharton in 2025. And yes, I'm manifesting that. But I think that's what's going to happen. And I'm not gonna like be up in arms about it too much. Is he the perfect option? Absolutely not. But is he better than Casemiro? 100%. Like Ugarte and Collier as options, for me it's just gonna come down to, is Ten Hag gonna realize that Casemiro is bad, is not good at the game of football anymore? Like,
yeah, I think I did a little post on the Twitter page about Ugarte and Zubimendi. I feel like one is better where the other isn't. I feel like, obviously, if you look at Ugarte, that video of him under pressure, he's not turning on the ball, but that was a Copa America game, and obviously sometimes players are more reserved into internationals, but it does look like he doesn't turn that much. I feel like with Ugarte, you get more of a carrier than a passer. You get someone that, I don't want to say Fred, but you get someone that has more license to go up and someone that covers more ground. He'll counter press better. He's more tenacious. He's a decent passer. Like, he's a good switcher, because again, when he was playing for Sporting and under Amorim, he was switching a lot to the wing backs on both sides of the pitch. He, higher up, he's a good passer as well. So he'll sit well in a pivot, but then obviously he'll lose that sort of security that you get on the ball with Zubimendi, who's more of a volume passer, keeps the game ticking. He's a good dictator of play. He doesn't carry as much as Ugarte does, and Zubimendi is very good in duels as well. So I feel like, and he will cover, in terms of ground covered, he'll cover less ground than Ugarte. And if we do go back to last season, how we had some space in midfield, you'd want someone like Ugarte. But if we've plugged that gap with the centre backs and defence pushing higher up the pitch, Zubimendi could be a better pick. I feel like you get positives and weaknesses with both. It's just like, if there was a pure DM in the market, obviously Amadou Onana's gone.
Rest in peace, man. Rest in peace,
man. Gone. I just don't see anyone on the market that fork out the cash for that. Yusuf Fofana's decent, but I've personally not seen enough of him. But other than that, I don't see where else we would go rather than obviously go for one of these two.
I feel like with Ugarte, if it's on loan, I'm not complaining. But if it's on loan with an obligation to buy, I will be a bit like, you know, like, for example, if he comes or if he doesn't come, I'm not really that fussed, in a sense that I know long-term, he's not going to be our long-term centre midfielder. And with Ineos, he's been hit so far with who they got. So, like, kind of getting Ugarte is kind of like left field. And with Zubimendi, I think a lot of people haven't seen him play outside of the Euros final, and how well he acclimatized to, like, such a big pressure moment, and how he was arguably one of the best players in the second half for Spain and replaced Rodri, like, seamlessly, if not played better than him. So, yeah, so with Zubimendi, I feel like a lot of people want him back off on the back of the Euros performance. But coming off what Hassan said, I do believe he is kind of like vice versa. And Ugarte has the tenaciousness and aggressiveness out of possession that Zubimendi doesn't. But Zubimendi has that calmness in possession and ability, you know, that press resistance and that quality in possession and ability to break lines that Ugarte doesn't have. So I feel like it all depends on what you see from what your team and what Ten Hag sees. Well, not what Ten Hag sees, but what Ineos sees. Like, do they want someone like Ugarte to come in to mitigate the out-of-possession weaknesses that Kobbie Mainoo has, potentially? Or would they want Zubimendi to come in so Kobbie Mainoo doesn't have to pick up the ball at centre-backs and help build up play throughout the first phase? Potentially, both have their positives and both have their drawbacks. If it was up to me personally, I would have Zubimendi. You know, I always prefer my midfielders to be better in possession. But, you know, it just depends on what happens and how Ten Hag sees his team, really. Like, I think if Ugarte comes, it would be kind of interesting to see how he lines up and to see how he's used out of possession, in possession, and, you know, how much responsibility would be on Kobbie Mainoo's shoulders and, you know, the variety of formations he could use and, you know, situations outside of out of possession that Ugarte could be using. So, yeah, I think it all depends. So, but for me, I would prefer Zubimendi, but if Ugarte comes, I'm not as down bad on the signing as everyone else is.
Yeah, I think just kind of these discussions have made me just raise an interesting point. Do you think that, because obviously Kobbie Mainoo hasn't been here, Bruno Fernandes hasn't been here, two integral parts, integral pieces of our midfield, and kind of the way that it's structured and shaped in terms of, are we playing a double pivot? Are we playing single pivot? But it's been mostly double pivot this preseason. Do you think that's just because of the personnel that's available, that we don't really have an out-and-out number 10, so everything's more compact and we're playing with that double pivot? Or do you think when Bruno and Mainoo comes back, it's going to be back to what we saw last season in terms of that kind of like that 3-1-6 shape, that lone six just kind of sitting and being asked to cover so much space? Maybe go to Griggs.
I think it's gonna be more the double pivot, depending on, unless we sign like some insane DM that can cover acres and acres of ground, which I don't think we will. Like Amadou Onana, maybe he would have stuck with 3-1-6 of his physical attributes, but I don't think we're going to sign someone like that because Ugarte might not even happen unless PSG dropped the price, so who knows. But as it currently stands, if only Manu and Bruno come back, I think we're going to see more of the shape that we saw towards the end of last season where like Amrabat was in the six next to Manu, a lot more compact, limit the space as much as we can. The only question, only concern I have is like towards the end of last season when we did that, Bruno wasn't in the 10. He was at the false 9. McTominay was a 10. So now, obviously, with Xerxes coming in, I wonder if it's going to be like Xerxes playing that Bruno false 9 role and then Bruno playing the McTominay role. He's kind of utilized more as a box crasher and we just catered more to his maybe final third abilities. It'll be interesting when it comes to that, what Ten Hag will do. But I do think, I think the 3-1-6 from under Ten Hag is pretty much dead. I don't think he's going to go back to it. I don't think even the new regime will allow him to go back to it. I think they're going to try to hint at him as much as they could to kind of stick closer to the shape that we saw towards the end of last season and so far in preseason.
It's just on the shape. I feel like we'll just see more of, you know, the season before last season and now. And I feel like in terms of the midfield spaces, they will close because of the new centre-backs, and if we do bring in Ugarte, then that's obviously a person who covers even more ground. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how we do in the next few games, and then we can make proper analysis on what build-up shape we're likely to prefer and what sort of attacking structure, because today we saw something that wasn't as rotational as last season. Like, last season, the front three and attack was rotating a lot. But obviously this season, this preseason, they just look like they're sort of more fluid, but just not rotating as much. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see what we do in terms of our build-up shape and our attack structure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Next week, we have the Twitter Civil War, Arsenal versus Man United, that preseason game in Los Angeles. So that'll be interesting. The US tour kicks off and everyone should be back, I think, right? So we'll probably see one of these games, whether it's, I think we play Arsenal, then Betis, then is it Liverpool?
Yeah, Liverpool.
So one of those games will probably be like a full strength, you know, ideal starting 11. For Ten Hag and his coaching staff, and probably gets to see some guys play into the second half. So that'll be interesting to see. And then in 2 weeks from now, we have, I think it's August 10th. So like 20 days we play in the Community Shield, and then we just play against Fulham like the next week. And then the season starts. That's insane, man. So yeah, things are moving very quickly. But yeah, it was good today to see some good performances after that kind of disappointing performance against Rosenberg, just to kind of see Yoro do his thing, see Ahmad show out, get to see more of our first teamers. Aaron Wan-Bissaka's got to go, by the way. I don't know why he's catching a stray right now, but that guy is just not, he's bad enough to single-handedly like disrail a good team. Like, the guy's just not a footballer, man. I just hope he's gone. Sorry, I don't know why I had to just harp on AWB right there, but he's just, the guy's got to go, bro. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for today. Any final thoughts, guys?
Yeah, just I want to touch upon your Wan-Bissaka point just quickly.
Yeah,
you said he needs to go, but when people, his strengths are recovering and his long strides to get back and tackle. We saw that with Yoro today. So if we use Yoro as more of a cover defender and we push the right back either pitch and Yoro takes up them spaces, them channels that Wan-Bissaka usually covers and gets back to regain the ball, I feel like we get the strength there anyway with Yoro. So it's just, I feel like Wan-Bissaka's needs are, the needs for him are diminishing, and I feel like, you know, he just takes too many touches on the ball. Just got no passing variety towards him. He's good in tight spaces, good in build up, but there's no variety in his play. He's high up the pitch, takes too many touches as well. I feel like I want to bring in a right back that would give us a different dynamic, that would sort of like bomb up and up and down the flanks. because we get that sort of player that's comfortable on the ball with Dalot, but we just need someone who's more like sort of energetic, I'd say. Yeah. That's just what.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's a great point. I've seen kind of people going back and forth on Twitter whether or not Yoro will be more of a sweeper or more of like that front-footed player. It seems like he'll be more of like that sweeper type, but he has the versatility to kind of do either, so, which is nice. But yeah, totally agree. I think it's a great point. Abu, Griggs, anything from you guys before we wrap up?
I just want to say, Ineos, you promised the world and you've given me it so far. You've sold quite a few players already, and it looks like we're going to sell a few more. You know, I've liked the signing so far, like the sign of intent, and I like how quick we move in terms of our business, and how beforehand there was a million, you know, just rumors coming out the club, leaks and whatnot, and it seems like there's like almost nothing. It seems like we're running a tight ship now. So yeah, Ineos has done well so far. So far, I give them like 8 out of 10 with their transfer business. If they do manage this Wan-Bissaka or McTominay as well, you know, just generate some more money, I believe our transfer, even though I love McTominay, but I believe it's time for him to go. He's in the prime of his career. He shouldn't be wasting it on the bench. And even though he's a great squad player, I don't feel like he's the type of player to waste it on the bench, even though he loves United. With Wan-Bissaka going as well, hopefully soon. And yeah, it looks promising. Good preseason, good game today. You know, I just hope Ten Hag doesn't make the same mistakes he did last season and bottle it. Hopefully he trusts himself. And hopefully, you know, we get some, have more transfer, you know, dopium coming up soon.
I'd probably say to two things. First, Casemiro needs to go. Time to go. I never seen a more washed player in my life than this guy. And then second of all, it's an Amad Diallo and Lenny Yoro world, and we're all living in it. Pretty much it.
You heard it here first, guys. That's the word. That's what we're gonna leave you with. And yeah, just to kind of to wrap up everything, I think, you know, last season we saw, I think it just zapped a lot of people in the content creation space watching this team. It just zapped a lot of people's motivation, but this year we're feeling good. We're feeling ready to get after it. We're going to be consistent like this whole year for you guys, and hoping to go to the moon. I think we appreciate all you guys' support today with all the content that we put out. I think we grew, what, Hassan, like 500, 600 followers in a day, which is just absolutely absurd. So we appreciate all of you guys. Griggs, you're how far are you away from 1,000 subs on YouTube?
I think I'm 40 something.
So 40, there's definitely 45. There's definitely 40 people listening to this. If you're listening to this, go and subscribe to Griggs. Plug your, what is it, Griggs? What's your YouTube?
Just Griggs Talks. Griggs and then Talks.
Go sub right now. Get this guy to 1,000 subs. But we'll leave you guys with that, and we'll see you probably, possibly midweek, but definitely after the Arsenal game, just in case if something crazy happens during the week, we'll record. But other than that, we will see you guys soon. Appreciate you. Peace.
Nice one.
Peace.
Nice.